Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration is from Isaiah chapter 40. I'll begin reading in verse 27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from the God of all wisdom, the God of all power, and the God of all grace. Amen. Life would be infinitely happier if we could be born at the age of 80 and gradually approach 18. You might think this is the tagline for the movie Benjamin Button, but it's actually the opinion of Mark Twain as he approached his final years. Lots of people have felt this way. In fact, many have grumbled that youth is wasted on the young. Or they've watched children run and play and wish they could bottle or channel some of that energy for themselves. Now, if you're of that frame of mind, then what the prophet Isaiah just said about giving strength to the weary and increasing the power of the weak likely piqued your attention. Really, who among us doesn't want more energy, more strength, more power? Who doesn't want to soar on eagle's wings? Seems like everybody does. Lots of people want to look, feel, and be younger. And people who can make money off this understand that. So there are beauty products, workout programs, supplements, and diets that all claim to restore your youth, to make you look and feel younger, to be able to perform like your old, younger self. But the truth is, it's not just the things that we put on or in our bodies that are claiming to function as a fountain of youth. We're told that if we want to feel younger, we need to get a new bed or put a copper compression sleeve on our knees or elbows. We need a shiny new sports car. Or we need to take that trip to Disneyland and unlock the kid in us again. Almost everywhere you look, there is someone trying to get you to buy or do something with the promise that it will make you feel young and vibrant again. And we don't even blink. We don't even realize how strange that would have sounded to us when we actually were young. Do you remember those days? When you were young, all you wanted to do was grow up, right? All you wanted to do was be the one who's in charge, the one who makes all the decisions. You just wanted to not have anybody tell you what you had to eat, when you had to go to bed, or what you had to do. And now, look at you, as an adult, you pay people to tell you what you can eat, when you should go to bed, and how many more steps you need to take in order to hit your goals. What happened to you? Life, I suppose you could say. You grew up and realized that being an adult and making all your own choices also meant that you had to deal with the consequences of your choices. You also came to understand that being an adult doesn't make you in control of everything in your life. Rather, at times it feels like nothing in your life is really under your control. Life has a way of humbling us real fast, teaching us that not only do we have to deal with the consequences of our own choices, but so much of life is about dealing with the consequences of other people's choices. That might be right where Israel was in Isaiah chapter 40. To a large degree, they were dealing with the consequences of their own choices and the choices of other people. You see, for many generations, God had been warning his people that if they continued to stray from him and sin against him, there would be grave and grievous consequences. He warned them that if they continued to worship false gods and live with divided hearts, they would be carried off as exiles to a foreign land. But the people didn't listen. And their children didn't listen. And their grandchildren didn't even hear many of the warnings. And their great-grandchildren didn't even know about the law or the Passover or the warnings that God had given through his servants, beginning with Moses and all the way through Isaiah and Jeremiah. But ignoring God doesn't eliminate consequences, and ignorance is no excuse. You see, no word from the Lord can ever fail. So God did follow through on his words of warning. He allowed his nation to be conquered. He allowed his temple to be raided and then razed. He allowed his people to be carried off to a foreign place where not only were they no longer encouraged to worship the one true God, they did so under the threat of death. And God recognized how they would react. He predicted that some would complain that God doesn't care about Israel anymore, that others would say that God was actively ignoring their prayers. Many would grumble that God just wasn't being fair with them. And that's the spirit of the complaint that Isaiah speaks of in verse 27, where Israel, or Jacob, a nickname for the people of God, would complain and say, "My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God." Now, maybe you wouldn't phrase it that way. In the same way, you wouldn't say life would be infinitely happier if you could be born at the age of 80 and gradually approach 18 like Mark Twain. But we've said it in similar ways, haven't we? In our darkest moments, we wonder, "God, how can you do this to me?" When the bills start stacking up so high that your head begins to spin, you wonder, how can God do this to me? When you lose something that you were counting on, your job, your connections, your strength, your skills, your mind, you wonder, how can God do this to me? When you find out that the people that you trusted in most are also sinful and selfish and are going to let you down, you wonder, God, how can you do this to me? When you keep praying for the same thing over and over and over and over again, and you don't get the answer you're seeking, it's hard not to wonder, God, how can you do this to me? If you've ever felt this way, and if you haven't, you'll get there. Then I invite you to look with me carefully at God's answer. It begins in verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow tired or weary. His understanding is beyond anyone's ability to fathom. See, God is telling us that he is not constrained or held back by any of the things that constrain us or hold us back. God is timeless, eternal, without beginning or end. God is all-powerful. There's nothing beyond his abilities. There is no problem that he cannot solve. God is all-knowing. And it's not just that he knows facts and figures and details that we don't. God is also wise. He knows how all of it fits together. He knows what needs to be done at every moment. He knows every single person intimately, not just by name, but inside out. He knows how many hairs are on a person's head, what words they're going to say before they say them, and most importantly, the condition of their hearts. But in addition to all of these divine characteristics, God adds one more incredible one. He will not grow tired or weary. See, our God is not constrained by energy, right? God is relentless. He never needs to catch his breath. He never needs to go get somebody else to come and help him. He never starts some project and then figures out that he can't quite finish it. You see, when we realize that's who we're speaking to, we feel rather silly questioning him as we do from time to time. See, I am not God. God is eternal and all-knowing. I'm not. I forget important dates, even when I write them down. Sometimes I can't even remember what I had for breakfast. God is all-powerful and wise. Not me. Me, I've tried and failed at so many things, I can't even remember them all. I've made plans and promises and then completely forgot about them or changed them on the fly. I've made plans and promises and then been completely humbled by my own foolishness and selfishness. But not my God. My God is changeless and relentless and yet still loving and righteous. That's not me. Me, I change my mind all the time. Except for the times when I know I should. I've picked sides and fights and refused to acknowledge that I'm not all-knowing or all-powerful or the wisest person to ever walk the face of the earth. See, the only thing that doesn't change about me is my struggle with sin. The only thing relentless about me is my stubborn, selfish, sinful nature. I grow weak and get tired. I get worn out and worn down. I am not God, and neither are you. And that's good news. Life is infinitely happier when you get this. Because the everlasting God, who is not bound by time as you and I are, is also incredibly patient. The Creator God, with unfathomable wisdom, has concocted a perfect plan to redeem us all from the one thing that we cannot grow out of, our sin. The Lord our God promises that He will not grow tired or give up because this plan takes too long or it's too difficult. He will never get weary and throw in the towel because circumstances change. God gives strength to the weary and power to the weak. That's why He gave His one and only Son. Jesus, who is also God everlasting, allowed Himself to be constrained by so many of the things that constrain us. Jesus, who is the Creator of all things, took on flesh and blood like us. He was raised by flawed and even foolish parents. He grew up and had to apply Himself to learning the Word of God and then applying that truth to His way of life. Jesus lived alongside people who let Him down and broke their promises. He loved people who stumbled and fell into temptation and then broke His heart. In fact, the only constraint that you and I have that Jesus did not have was the sinful nature. Jesus was sinless, perfect in thought, word, and deed. Now, well, you may say, that's the source of all my problems. That's what you told me, right? If I could just get rid of my sinful nature, then I wouldn't get so tired or weary. Without my foolishness and my selfishness, I would stumble and fall far less often, right? My life would be a cakewalk if I were sinless. Do you not know? Have you not heard about Jesus' life? Even though He was always truthful, righteous, wise, He suffered tremendously for our foolishness, our selfishness, our sin. Even though He only ever did what pleased God, God the Father hid His face from His Son in His moment of darkest need. When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's about as close as a perfect Son of God could get to, God, how could you do this to me? Jesus' cause was disregarded. Yet He did not complain. Instead, as He died, He entrusted His soul, His life, to His everlasting Father, and God raised Him back to life. So now when you and I look at the cross, we cannot help but wonder, how could God do this for me? The answer is simple but profound. It's because God is love. Everlasting love, love that doesn't grow weary, love that no one can fathom, love that changes us. It's because of God's love that we are filled with hope and strength. You see, the hope that we have surpasses even the most bright-eyed optimist. The strength that God gives us puts the Olympic power lifter to shame. The endurance that God blesses us with runs laps around the ultra-marathoners. But this hope, this strength, this endurance is not from ourselves. This hope, this strength, this endurance is a gift of our generous and gracious God. God gives us hope, unshakable certainty in how things will shake out, because we know who He is. We know what He has done for us, and we know what He will promise, what He promises He is yet to do. God always keeps His word. He will always forgive us. He will never forsake us. He will eventually come back and bring us to be with Him for eternity. We have His word. God gives us strength and endurance, too, when He calls us His own. He says, you are the light of the world. You are my beloved child. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are my holy priest. You have strength because God says so. Now, the strength that God gives to you as His child is not the same as the energy of young people. It's better, by far. Youthful energy is often unfocused and undisciplined. That's why it often does more harm than good. But your strength is rooted in Christ. It's channeled by the Holy Spirit. You know how you are to live as wise stewards of all God's gifts. You know that challenges that you face in life don't necessarily mean that you're headed the wrong way. You know that your energy and your efforts, your prayers are never wasted because your eternal God is always listening, always working out all things for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose, and you have been. You have strength. You have strength of character, which we can say in a simple word is courage. You have the courage to speak the truth, even when you know it's hard, because you know it's not your opinion. It's not your philosophy on life. It's God's word. You have the courage to call a friend to repentance, even when it might be awkward. You have the courage to confess your own sins, even when it may be embarrassing. You have the courage to run your race till the bitter final steps, even when it's scary. You have courage, strength, and endurance because you have hope, the unshakable certainty that God will renew your strength. Because your hope is not in yourself, your own skills, your own strength, your own plan, but in your everlasting Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth, the God of all wisdom, who never grows weary or tired, and life is infinitely better when you have hope like that. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name once again is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to proclaim to you the strength that God gives, the hope that's found in no other name but Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about this hope, to be renewed in your strength, to be encouraged in your character, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find an opportunity to connect with me directly if you'd like, ask any questions that you might be wrestling with, and to join us for public worship every Sunday at 9 a.m. May God continue to bless and keep and encourage you every step of the way. Till next time.